You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, yeah, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Tuesday, March 28th. Tuesday, March 28th, spring weather. And Boomer's been sucking down pollen like milk through a straw, man.
I have. So if you hear my voice two octaves lowered, that is correct.
You still sound like Barry White on a rough day, man. You can go sleep that one off, dude. All right, man. You doing good, though?
Yeah, doing good. Like you said, beautiful day, ready to dive in.
All right, we'll dive right in here in a minute. Hey, listen, at 3 o'clock today, somebody who many of you may have heard on the radio in the past is going to be with us. Matt Murphy, who used to be down yonder in Birmingham on Cumulus morning shows. He is now the midday host at Super Talk 99.7 up at WTN in Nashville. And we got him on to come in and talk about being a Nashville DJ or Nashville talk show guy about the school shooting. And so we'll get some sort of firsthand perspective from covering the news in the same area where it happened. And that's coming up at 3 o'clock. Stay tuned for that one. And then this Triple Dipper has got some stuff in it, man. So hit it, Boomer.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So number one, I'm not going to give it a cute or euphemistic name. I'm just going to call this one the Nashville school shooting. And where I'm not going to try and, you know, put a little glib name on it because it ain't nothing glib about it. So the Nashville school shooting, we're gonna watch it or talk through it, I mean, and dissect it. And Boomer and I just watched the body cam footage a few minutes ago of the officers who literally ran into the building and began clearing rooms. I can just tell you, I've gone through a little bit of training and I've cleared a few buildings and they did an excellent job and that shooter was taken out in short order. So yeah, we're going to talk about the Nashville school shooting, all of the things surrounding it, and you know what it means going forward. Number one of the Triple Dipper, and then number two of the Triple Dipper. I'll switch gears. We'll go into climate hypocrisy. Yeah. So yeah, have you heard? You know, it's the usual. You can't have a gas stove, but they can fly their private jets. Come on. Really? All right, so we're going to talk about that and just label number two of the Triple Dipper, the climate hypocrisy. There's that one. And then number three, you know what I thought? There's going to be some heavy stuff and some irritating stuff in today's show content. I'm ending the show on good news. We're going to take time at the end to celebrate some things that have happened. We're going to talk about, you know, good news stories like, you know, people supporting one another, standing by each other, doing good things for each other. So, yeah, we're going to end the show on a high note. Stay with us for that one. Number three of the Triple Dipper, I'm just calling it spreading the good news. All right, let me jump over to my comments, though. And in my opening monologue today, I'm just going to start off with a question. Do rules really matter? That's a real question, by the way. Do rules really matter? Now, I get that there's low-level rules in life that don't change culture or affect others if they're not followed. I mean, can bad things happen with little rules that aren't followed? Well, I believe so. When I was growing up, one of the rules that I had to live by was I had to make my bed in the morning. It was just a rule. Now, none of my friends at school were negatively affected if I broke that rule. The neighborhood we lived in did not spiral into urban decay if I broke that rule. But it was a rule in our house. And even though I was a knothead kid, I tended to follow the rule, at least with a little prompting from mom or dad. But like I said, that was a low-level rule. But low-level rules grow into high-level rules when taken in their totality. Like I've said before, the broken windows theory of policing that Giuliani used to clean up New York City was premised on the notion that if you let the little stuff go without enforcement, like kids breaking windows, that little rule-breaking becomes big rule-breaking. Little crime becomes big crime. Little lies add up to big lies. And when you pretend that ignoring little rules doesn't mean anything, you wind up with a slippery slope that gets slipperier and slipperier until you eventually have anarchy. So in the end, yeah, little rules matter. And even the little rules are generally based on some actual truth. By the way, notice I did not say truths, plural. I'll come back to that. But rules matter. And sometimes, though, there's this whole notion of not needing to pay attention because you're not subject to the rules. Well, I got news, you still are. I remember in Baghdad, early in the war, before we transitioned the autonomous governance to the new Iraqi government, U.S. troops still ruled the roost, and we had the ultimate authority to enforce the laws. And on one occasion, the overwatch that we kept up 24-7 on a tall building near our FOB radioed in that they could see something happening behind the wall at the local police headquarters. Apparently, some guy was tied to a chair and was being beaten by so-called policemen. So we rolled a platoon of infantry out the gate and down the street and crashed their party, and sure enough, there was the local police chief breaking every rule, violating civil rights, abusing his own position. My commander looked at him in disgust and said, "Well, congratulations, you've been a free country less than a year and you've already failed." Like I said, the breaking of one rule, it can lead to bigger rules being broken, and before you know it, anarchy. The problem we too often have, though, with the progressive left is they feel compelled, though, to rewrite the rules on a near-daily basis. And often, we're not even told. Liberals apparently have what one of my friends in the state Senate used to call the Deals Committee. Might want to call it the Rules Committee. That apparently sits off in a room by themselves and they just change those rules willy-nilly. They change the rules that change the rules and then come up with new rules about who is allowed to change the rules. And then they fuss when the world reminds them that they are not actually the author and finishers of all rules. A classic example might be what we used to refer to as the gay community. I say used to because now they're an acronym. Can anyone, by the way, keep track of the constantly evolving acronyms? Who makes the rule on the acronyms? So do you know what LGBTQQIP2SAA stands for? I kid you not. Feel no pressure to get this right. I had to look it up myself, and one of the main websites that supports the alternative lifestyles encompassed by the super acronym actually says that sexual orientations are constantly evolving. Okay, there's an admission. Even they don't know what the next part of the acronym will be. It's the latest version, and allegedly it stands for, I'll say it again, LGBTQQIP2SAA, stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, pansexual, two-spirit, androgynous, and asexual. Who exactly is on the acronym committee? I mean, the committee that makes these acronyms, who keeps changing the rules on this stuff? And when they do they add furries to it eventually, or are they made to stay out back, and are they banned from the acronym club? Well, the rules about racism keep changing as well. Try and keep up here, because I was raised to believe that falsely judging another person by their skin color or ethnicity was racism, and it was wrong. Cold stop. Just don't do it. Except now I'm told that racism is also inherently involved in my own skin color, and that because I am white, I am racist just because, and apparently filled up with privilege. Although last I checked, privilege didn't get me through college and into the working world, but, you know, that's okay. Because understand this, racism can also be subliminal and unintentional. That's a new rule. For instance, if I ever used a GIF or a meme on social media, regardless of the intent, that included a black person, then I have now committed racism in the form of digital blackface. Did you know that existed? Apparently it's, you know, okay if you're black, you can do it. But because I have privilege that I did not know even existed, then I have committed a racist act, however passive, a racist act. Who made that rule? Or here's another one. My wife and I worked and saved for years and finally found ourselves in a position to build our house. She picked everything out, and I was excited for her to do so, and you can bet that there's a nice gas stove in our new kitchen. It's a doozy, and she cooks quite well on it. But now we're told that somehow or another, we are causing harm to the climate. There's another danger involved in having a gas stove in your home. Really? The new rule is that we are harming the environment every time we cook. How dare we cook on gas? Never mind that my granny cooked on gas for 50 years, and I'm pretty sure that fried okra she made came out just right and nobody was harmed. But these are some of the new rules being formed by people who fly to climate conferences in private jets while all the rest of us good rule followers just work to get to the point that we can have a nice new gas stove, at least for as long as they'll let us, until they make those rules. Well, those who arbitrarily make rules and then break rules and then make some more rules only to then break some more rules are often the same individuals who will tell us that they are following their own truth. Whose truth? Their truth? What truth? Today's truth? Never mind yesterday's truth. That's old truth. We need new truth. If that sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, keep in mind, too, the new rulemakers have already banned Dr. Seuss because, well, racism. So let me just throw this out there. Truth is actually truth. You are not allowed multiple versions of truth. You can have multiple working theories, but in the end, they are all winnowed down to one truth. And rules? Rules exist for a reason. And if we continue down the ever-increasingly slippery slope of rule-changing to satisfy every new version of truth conjured up by the Deals Committee, then we're going to find ourselves in a society that no longer knows which way is up. And that, my friends, is called anarchy. Look it up. That's a rule. Maybe instead of teaching kids to use their new pronouns, we should just teach them to make their bed in the morning and to realize that rules have purpose and that truth is not intended to be malleable. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Just a little rant as we start the show. Who's on that rules committee? Dadgummit, sitting off in a side room changing acronyms and banning gas stoves and telling me I can or cannot. For the love. All I know is this. It's only one version of truth. Truth is just truth. At the same time, rules exist for a reason. And if we just keep letting them slide or changing them when we feel like it, then they aren't really rules. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So, Boomer, let me ask you something, man. So, I know you've been in contact with folks up there in Nashville where you guys spent many years. You were up there for, what, 18 years? And half of those, you and the lovely McQueen married and setting up home up there, had your kids up there. Mm-hmm. And coached a lot of kids up there. Both of you did, I guess.
Yes.
And this school that where the shooting took place, my recollection from yesterday is that there were kids that you coached that were from that school, and you've even been to that school.
Yes. I've had kids that used to go to that school. And the gym that I actually used to coach at in Nashville, I believe one of the victims used to participate in the gym that I was at. I never coached her personally, but I had friends that did.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Any other connections or thoughts? I mean, is this a?
There was another friend of mine. One of the adults that were one of the victims.
Yeah.
It was a connection there as well. That was actually their nanny.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. It hits so close to home for me, but not just me. So many people because it just feels like it's getting closer, but then in the grand scheme of things, it's like really, what's going on?
Yeah. But is this a school that you would have sent your kids to had they still been up there, or were we all thinking about it?
Well, we would have been at one particular time. It was close to where we lived, but not close enough to where we would have actually sent our kids. Yeah.
Although you used to drive 45 minutes to work.
Let's be honest. Yeah, it was right outside of it's in Nashville, but right outside the city. And when we call the Green Hills area, it was closer to there.
Yeah, right, beautiful area too.
Beautiful area. I mean, one of those areas that you would never think that something like this would happen.
So, yeah, well, there's that. But then when have we? I mean, is there – I haven't seen rhyme or reason on any of these targets. I mean, you got Michigan State University. You got Uvalde, which is in rural Texas.
Yeah.
You got the one yesterday is in Green Hills area of Nashville, a very affluent, beautiful suburb area. And I look at it and think, my gosh, I mean – There is no rhyme or reason. The only rhyme or reason is you have a sick individual who is a coward who decides to take action against defenseless individual. I mean, little ones, babies.
Yes.
The three children who died were all nine years old, which I guess that would be what, third grade? What is that?
Yeah, about third grade.
Yeah, this is a K through six school, I believe.
K through sixth grade. And the schools that I primarily worked at, there were actually two feeder schools of that school. That was, devastating.
We're gonna unpack this thing, but I tell you what, folks, and we'll talk about it more, but I said earlier, Boomer and I sat here, usually I'm highlighting notes and getting some last-minute stuff ready and polishing up my monologue or whatever. Nope, we sat here and watched the body cam footage, which was released a little while ago.
Yes.
Those guys are the heat.
I am so thankful for them. And I know all those parents are as well. I mean, they did not hesitate one second.
Yeah.
They and just went in.
You could watch them too, man. They you can tell they'd had the training.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if all of them had the training, but the ones who did certainly took charge. And you could hear them. They were literally shoot, move, and communicate is what they did. Shoot, move, and communicate.
Right.
Constant clearing, constant talking to each other, checking their back, you know, and doing the things. Yet not, I didn't see anybody sweeping each other with weapons. And they would clear a room, realize there's a closet door, clear the closet, and then right. call clear and move to the next room. And then when they heard the gunshots on that body cam,
they took off.
They were on the run to where. And by the way, it what we learned today too, and I'll talk about it more as I really dig into the details here, is that what we understand is that the shooter was actually upstairs shooting down at police vehicles as they were arriving.
Mm.
So the police were taking fire, but they still went in ASAP. They didn't pause. They didn't hesitate. And I tell you what I do like. I mean, there's going to be concern about allegedly we understand that she left behind information that she had planned on doing this at more than one school. And she may have gone to the other school first and found it to be too hard of a target for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you notice in that body cam video, the police couldn't just go right in. They had to have somebody open the door with a key. So I guess they had a pass key, which may be. But anyway, nonetheless, the school was locked. And so it wasn't like these doors were all standing open. And this first person actually had to shoot their way through a locked door to get in.
Right.
So hard target, soft target. At the very least, it was not just an open target. We'll dig into it in more detail. On a lighter note, let me just say this. The text lines are going to be open. If you want to text in your feedback, your thoughts, whatever you want to do, or you want to call in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You're welcome to provide your feedback. And I'd love to get your thoughts. If you're texting in for the very first time, do not forget, when you text, tell us your first name and where you're from. We'll plug you into the system. In fact, all you have to do the very first time you text it, 833-68-RIGHT, is text in the word right side, and you'll get an automatic message back that says, hey, you right side ruffian, thanks very much. On a lighter note, too, I will also tell you that Boomer and I were talking about the prizes for the
The March Madness.
Yeah.
Guess what? We do not get one.
You and I don't get one?
We don't get one.
Come on. The heck?
We got destroyed.
Oh, yeah, we did. But who may get one is McQueen.
I know. Come on, McQueen.
So let's look at the bracket. Has it changed? Games today? I quit caring.
No more games till later.
Yeah, my bracket blew up, and so I quit caring.
You stopped watching.
I dropped a 75th place in our bracket, and I stopped caring. but yeah, she is right now. Where is I don't wait?
She McQueen
she
is in third.
She's in third. Oh, mm-hmm. She is. She sure is. McQueen's in third.
That's third place.
That's crazy.
And she has a chance to win. It'll be in the Final Four game if she wins or not.
She was a collegiate gymnast. What does she know about basketball?
I don't know. Apparently, she knows a lot more than I thought.
All right, folks. Listen, we'll get through this thing. Y'all stay with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.